have with me Rob Kennedy. Thanks for being with me, Rob.
Thank you, Pastor.
And we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but today we're going to start talking about coveting. You know, the Bible tells us not to covet our wife, our neighbor's wife.
Neighbor's wife.
We ought to covet the one we got. So, and but we are not supposed to covet anything else. In fact, it is a trap when we become covetous in life.
Yeah.
But in 1 Corinthians, let's go to the 12th chapter and let's look at, verse 31, I believe it is. Yeah, verse 31. Paul tells us, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So here, Paul tells us now, I want you to covet something.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about coveting, what do you think about it?
I think of something that's an insatiable desire that you just can't get over. You crave it. It's a craving. You want it so bad that you got to have it.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
covet,
just
right?
Really what it means. It really means to be zealous of, means be on fire for.
Yeah.
It means to desire earnestly. I wrote down my interpretation is to desire or to want for yourself, no matter what it costs me.
Mm, that's good.
And when we covet something, if you would covet your neighbor's wife, which don't do it, it's just not a good deal.
Yeah.
And then what would happen is I'd be willing to sacrifice everything.
Yeah.
For that.
For that. Mm.
And so when it talks about that, you exactly had the meaning that Paul is trying to convey here. And so Paul tells us, just get a desire that you cannot live without.
Or let go of,
Or let go of. It's kind of like, we remember the story, and I think it's in Luke, the 17th chapter, of the unjust judge.
Yeah.
The woman just wouldn't let it go. No, I want justice. I want justice.
Yeah.
I want justice.
Would not stop. Yeah.
Right, would not stop. And it's that type of zealous passion that we have to have for the gifts. Because I know that people would say, well, they're for everybody. They are for everybody.
Yeah.
Everything in the Bible is for everybody. But not everybody has everything in the Scripture.
Yeah.
Because some do not pursue it. Some do not stand the test. Some do not persevere.
Yeah.
Some cave in. That doesn't define whether God wants us to have it or not.
Yeah.
It defines whether we're willing to pursue it or not.
Paul said that he would that everyone spoke in tongues like him. So
absolutely.
It was his desire.
Yeah, it is God's desire. And, you know, the Bible says that we are to seek, knock, and ask. And if we seek, we will find.
Yeah.
If we ask, it'll be given. If we knock, it'll be opened.
But
it doesn't mean that we just seek for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Those words are perpetual, ongoing acts of a manner or a typical way of life of someone that is trying to achieve or apprehend a goal.
Yeah.
So it's not just, well, you know, just do it a little while. I mean, it has to almost become a life mission.
Absolutely. I always say proof of desire is found in a pursuit. Right?
You can
find out what someone truly desires by what they are pursuing. And if we're desiring, earnestly coveting the spiritual gifts, we're going to pursue them at all costs.
Absolutely.
Until we obtain them, we're not
going
to relinquish.
Until we obtain them.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about coveting here today, and hopefully we'll get through it today. If not, we're going to pick up on it on Thursday. But I also want Rob to read out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, is because I think that this passage of Scripture from 12 down to from verse 1 to 2 and 3. Why don't you go ahead and read that, Rob?
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Now, we're going to talk about a couple of subjects out there. Yeah. But the first thing, when we talk about coveting the gifts of the Spirit, the first thing come to mind, Rob, is, well, we don't have to do anything. That's works, or it's this, or it's that. But the Bible tells us to covet earnestly.
Yes. Yeah.
It means to tell us to pursue this life that the gifts have been given to us for, to profit with, to help the gospel, to help our life, to glorify God, to declare the fullness of the lordship of Christ. So I think one of the things that happens is that people are ignorant.
Yes.
Yeah. And or they're so defensive, or they're, well, I heard this, or I heard that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, you have people that love the gifts, and you have people that, like 1 Thessalonians, despise not prophecy,
yeah,
prophesying. People get, you know, well, hurt, or somebody else got hurt, or somebody said something, oh, and it didn't come to pass, or somebody prayed and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But somebody said something and it wasn't even what God was doing in my life. Those things happen.
Yeah.
Because we are human beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Bible tells us in Proverbs that instruction is a way of life. Hmm. In other words, we're going to make lots of mistakes, Rob. But we have to continue to pursue the will of God and be big enough, strong enough, spiritually mature enough to lay aside. Remember, Paul says, look, forgetting those things are what's behind.
Yeah.
And we have to pick up every day, and we have to forget things, Rob.
Yeah.
And start over. Like today, I just picked up and forgot that, you know, I ate corn chips, and I ate pretzel things filled with cheese yesterday, and I ate twice as much Chinese food as I was supposed to. So I got up today and forgot about that and started my diet again.
Yes.
Now, this is the 497th time I started that in 497 days. But I'm telling you, I'm still in pursuit of it.
You're pressing forward.
Yes, my wife, I was eating a carrot for breakfast. She said, are you losing weight? And I said, well, I'm trying. I don't know how I can lose it, but it keeps finding me someplace.
Yeah.
But every day I get up with the mentality that I'm going to eat right, I'm going to do right. And that lasts till 10 or 11 o'clock. But one day I'm going to break that 12 o'clock barrier, and hallelujah, I'm going to have arrived.
And make it all day.
Yes, but every day I'm going to do it. But the word ignorant simply means that we are void. We don't have an understanding of it. And the gifts are not to be mysterious to us. But ignorance, according to Ephesians 4:17, says that we are not to be like Gentiles, that we are ignorant like they are, separated from the life of God.
Yeah.
Well, when we're separated from the life of God, that means we're separated from all that God does.
Yeah, everything that he has for us.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. And certainly the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of life.
Yes. Yeah.
And if they're separated from the ignorance of it, you and I, as believers, can be separated from the gifts that will limit the life that we can live in. Yeah. I'll give you an example. There was a Phyllis and I were driving back from Christmas shopping. And, you know, women, oh, my word, I'm telling you, I have no idea. They can carry, like, a whole mountain full of stuff. And Phyllis had a bracelet on that I had bought her one time as a special gift. I'd been out of the country, and, you know, it was one of them weak moments. I just caved in, bought her something. And so I bought it at, I don't know, Zales or Yale's or whatever one of them things are. Well, she loved that gift, and she loved that bracelet. So we get in the car, and we're driving down the road, and we get about, 30 miles from the mall. Now, when we left the mall, we closed the mall. And if you know Phyllis, that's just the way it is. They say, good night, Mrs. Dosek. We'll see you in the morning. And, you know, they just help her out. And I'm kidding. But so we were there, and it was snowing. So we had about an inch and a half already on the ground, and it was still snowing. Well, we get up around Vandalia, because I remember pulling into a Waffle House's parking lot, and the fellow said, oh, my word, my bracelet's gone. And, of course, I, being the man of God that I am, I said, what? What in the world? How can you lose? You know, so kind of lost that man of God. Yeah. But we get there. We're tearing bags apart. We look everywhere. We do everything that we possibly can do to find the bracelet. Well, in the meantime, Phyllis starts shedding tears, and I'm saying, oh, praise God, man, I can't believe we lost this bracelet. So I said, you know what? We are tithers. We are tithers, and God, you are God, and we're not going to lose this bracelet. So I get in the car, and I just took off down, headed south instead of north. Phyllis said, where are you going? I said, I'm going back and get that bracelet. She said, we've called all the stores. They don't have it. I said, I'm telling you, we're going down and get that bracelet. And so what I did was I drove down there. I went to the parking lot. Now, we had parked up by the door because women of God use their faith to get closed parking lots. we had one. But when I got to the parking lot, I just took straight across the parking lot. And Phyllis is screaming, no, we went there. We were down there. We weren't out here. I said, I know it, I know it. All of a sudden, I just slammed on the brakes. I slid. I opened my door, reached down, pulled out a pile of snow, and handed it to her, and the bracelet was hanging out of that handful of snow.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Don't ask me how it happened. I don't know if some muskrat got it or a thief or whatever, but we found that bracelet there. And that was a word of knowledge. God directed us.
Yeah.
And even though we could not comprehend it, we weren't ignorant. Yeah. It was that God had wisdom above our wisdom, understanding, and the gifts helped transmit that into our lives. So we're talking about coveting the gifts of the Spirit, but we're also talking about not being ignorant.
Now, Pastor Peter, would you say there's several kinds of ignorance, say ignorance of how the gifts operate or ignorance of are the gifts still for today? Because there's many in the church and the body of Christ that believe they cease with the apostles.
Yeah.
So
well, there is the ignorance that comes from misunderstanding.
Yeah.
In fact, Rob, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and it tells us about the three types of people that the church deals with. And the three types of people that are either for the gifts or are opposed to the gifts. Yeah. And these three types of people are found in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. And it says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come one in there that are unlearned. There, that would be what? Ignorance. That would be an ignorance. They would not understand. They had not been schooled in the gifts, so it would be new to them. Yeah. And it says, and if they come in unlearned or unbelievers. Now, unbelievers are not somebody that doesn't believe. An unbeliever is an unbeliever.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about the things of the church.
Yeah.
We aren't talking about the things of the world. We aren't talking about witnessing to somebody. We aren't talking about what we're talking about is the church having an understanding of how the Spirit of God moves and operates in the members of the church. Yes, the world experiences those things, and yes, we do minister to the world with the gifts, but if somebody comes into the church and they don't understand it, now this does give us also the example that the whole church could come together and pray in tongues.
Yes.
And unbelievers would say, man, they're crazy. And the unlearned would say, why, these people are mad.
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say and said, will they not say that you are all mad? Yes, they would. But if all prophesy and there come one in that believeth not. Mm. Now, that's the third class of people. Yeah. Not an unbeliever, not an unlearned, someone that does not believe in the gifts. Yes. So there are the people that are ignorant.
Yeah.
They are would-be believers, unlearned.
Yeah.
And then there are the unbelievers. That's the world. But then there is in this a group of people that have heard about, have experienced,
seen the gifts,
but they do not believe that they're for today.
Yeah.
They use the chapter verse 13, chapter 13 that says, Well, you know, we look through a glass darkly, but when that which is perfect is come, then we will see clearly. But that which is perfect is not come.
Yeah.
That which is perfect is Jesus Christ.
The return of the Lord. Absolutely.
That's right. This, and we shall behold him openly. See, we will always look through the Bible dimly and through a vapor glass.
Yes.
That always will be, because it is the fullness of God.
Yes.
And so it is a perpetual revelation and unveiling. And even people that say that will preach one thing one year, next year turn around and add to what they've already taught.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean what they taught was wrong, but they add to it.
Yeah.
Because they're discovering something. And if they could have seen clearly the first time, then certainly they would have just preached it all that time.
Yes. Yeah. That's
so right. Yeah. And so just for a simple fact that they're adding
tells
me they never saw clearly.
They didn't see it all.
No, you, it's impossible. It's when Jesus comes.
Yes.
The Bible says in 1 John 3:1-2 that it does not appear what we shall be, because God has loved us and called us to be sons and daughters. But when Jesus comes, we will see him like he is. Then shall we see how we are and who we are, because we shall be like him.
Like him, yes.
That's right. And so in this, we have three types of people. And we have people that don't believe in the gifts. Yeah. We have people that are believers that are unlearned, ignorant of how they operate. Remember what Paul said to the church, the 12 disciples in Ephesus coming back. He said, "Have you heard of the Holy Ghost?" They said, "We have never even heard there be a Holy Ghost."
Yeah.
So
since
we can
believed,
be ignorant of many things.
Yeah, absolutely.
As Christians. So,
and Paul writing to the Corinthians, obviously, they're operating in the gifts, but they were still ignorant of how they operate.
They were, right? and there certainly was error.
Yeah.
There certainly were things struggling. Now, somebody would say, well, the gifts have been passed away. Why would Paul give a Ford manual to a caveman that didn't even know what a Ford was? Why would you instruct somebody or throw in a controversial, confusing subject that says, no, the gifts are done away with, but we have the instructions to operate under them? Well, that would just be just plain foolishness.
Well, how could you? They would have to, cessationists, those that believe the gifts that cease, they would have to believe or read these scriptures in all past tense.
Right.
With no relevancy or no application to the church or to our lives, and miss the blessing that comes by understanding and operating the gifts. And it's sad, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, they believe, like you said, the perfect has come, which to them is the complete canon of scripture. So for them, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Bible, not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right?
And, well, and also when Paul says, look, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you.
Yeah.
But then he goes on and tells us, says, but he that speaketh in a tongue, present day tense.
Yes, yeah.
He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God.
God. Yeah.
So first thing we want to do is we want to make sure that we don't stay ignorant. Don't be afraid to study the scriptures. You say, but what if I get it wrong? What if I don't? Well, what if you don't? But what if you get it and you say, well, this is what I was going to do? Well, okay, so you get a little off. Look, we are all growing. And if we're just going to do things that are perfect, I've had people tell me, oh, I don't want to do anything that I might miss God. Well, listen, you might as well just dry up and blow away, because you're going to make mistakes. And any man that would tell you that he had never missed God or had made a mistake would be a man that you need to go away from, because liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Listen, everybody makes mistakes. And so that's why we prove all things. That's why we judge all things. That's why we look at ourselves. And so as we start growing in these things, and we may make mistakes. I've made hundreds of them. Sometimes I'll say something, and people say, well, that's, I'm sorry, that's not me. I say, oh, don't be sorry. I say, look, I'm big enough to take a rebuke. Just take it and go on. So we have to do that. We can't be afraid. We have to go after it, and we have to start studying and learning it. And the second thing, we want to make sure that we're not one of these types of people that, you know, are skeptical. You know, we have to be open to allow God, you know, And sometimes when people hear people prophesy, they would say, well, you know, that word wasn't right, or that scripture was misquoted.
Yes.
Well, but the overall thing, the purpose of it, the motive of it, the intent of it was right.
Yeah.
But just because you misquote one word or something doesn't mean that there it's not God, and doesn't mean it, it's not anointed. Take the misquote out and see if the rest of it, in the intent and the motive and the directive of it, was God.
Yeah.
If it was, rejoice that God has inspired somebody to prophesy to us.
Yeah, and it, you know, the Spirit is operating through human personality and our own language and our language barriers,
right?
Whatever
Amen.
We have.
Yes.
So He's using us, and as long as we're yielded, and He's
And you know, I've often said if God is going to prophesy to someone in the deep South, which you understand, I am married to a deep Southern girl. I have her accent. She has my accent. So we've reversed roles.
Yeah.
But if he was talking in deep Southern a church, he'd say, hey, you all, I've come to bless you.
you know,
look, God, he speaks differently in Italian than he does in American.
Yeah.
The message is the same, but it's a different way because of the personalities and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so we have to be aware of that. So the first thing that we want to do is make sure ignorance gets our way. We don't ever want to be skeptical and allow people to make mistakes. Remember, we operate in love toward the brother, and love covers a multitude of sins. We're going to make mistakes. Let people make them. And so don't be one of those three types of people here. And then I wanted to bring out, Rob, in that chapter 12, in verse 3, it says, wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What do you think that means?
Well, I think upon regeneration and someone being born again, baptized with the Holy Spirit and being saved, that the first initial confession unto salvation that Jesus is Lord is by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because no man can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. And it's the Spirit's regenerating work in our heart. So I think that's the beginning. But our confession throughout our walk as Christians is by the Spirit, is by the indwelling Spirit in us that confirms and is that anchor of hope. That we hold on to. It's whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Right. So. And even the confessions that we learn out of the promises, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 down through 13 says that we speak not with man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost speaketh.
Absolutely,
But I kind of want to look at it this way, because this is how I see it. I mean, I see it that way.
Yeah.
But years ago, I was when I was first saved, I heard this man say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
But then he just turned around and cussed and spit of tobacco drank beer. And I'm thinking, God, there is something wrong with this translation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so even devils could confess him, but it doesn't have faith in.
That's the point. It's regenerating, saving faith.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when it says they could not, that nobody could say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, my thought ran back to Luke. I think it's the 7th chapter and verse 18, Rob. Luke 7:18, where John the Baptist is in prison getting ready to, he sees the handwriting on the wall. He knows he's not coming out of prison.
Yeah.
And so now he's confessed that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He has been his cousin. He's been, John the Baptist himself has been filled with the Holy Ghost, as it were, under old covenant type. He's been filled with the Holy Ghost ever since he's been in his mother's womb. But now at this point in time, he must hear is Jesus. Now he's heard him preach. He's heard about his messages. He's heard about what he's doing. But can you read from verse 18 down through 21, Rob?
Yeah. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And that very hour he cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and he said to them, Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And when the... Yes.
How did Jesus verify his identity?
Yeah. By the things he did.
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Ghost. Yeah. He even raised the dead on that day. Boy, talk about a miracle service. Talk about it. Boy, Jesus opened the blind, cleansed the lepers, he raises the dead, praise God, cast out devils.
He did it
and,
all.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's still got time. Okay, now you can go.
Yeah.
And he's entertaining people.
Yeah.
And so here, the only way that they knew that he was Lord was because of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that there are three major ways that people preach. They preach by lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Your epistle, you'll know them by your fruits.
Yeah.
And then we preach by our verbiage, our lifestyle. I mean, our conversations, our sharing Christ.
Yeah.
But then we preach with the third witness, which is the testimony or the voice of the Holy Ghost echoing what he says is real, and this is why, and gives the sign.
And then there's demonstrations to
demonstration, absolutely.
You know, Pastor Pete, I'm convinced that we're not going to win this world today, this generation today, with our arguments for theology, or how well we can argue a point. We're going to win this world when they see the power of the gospel demonstrated.
Yeah.
When they see blind eyes open and deaf ears unstopped and the lame walk and, you know, the dead raised.
Yes.
When they experience a Jesus who heals and hears and answers prayer and saves, all that is theological. But to them, it's power. It's a sign and a wonder. And it's proving that Jesus is Lord.
And it's approving that he's alive today.
Yeah, alive, yes, right now.
And you know, when Jesus went to Nicodemus, he said, look, nobody can do what you're doing except God would be with him.
Yes, that's right. No one could do these things. Yeah.
And so after we're born again, Jesus, yes, we're born again, we cry, Abba, Father, but now the Holy Ghost is the one that resides with us, proving. Jesus said, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if I do, then believe.
So then to say Jesus is Lord is what you're saying, is a revelation of faith by the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And any confession is like that.
Yeah.
But then when we're going to really declare that Jesus is Lord, remember, they preach the gospel, the Lord working with them, confirming. So if, can we say Lord? Yes, we can say it verbally, but only one-dimensionally.
Yeah.
The gifts of the Spirit take it into a three-dimensional
That's
level.
Good. That's
In other
good.
Words, they cause everything to be real.
Yeah.
They cause it to be, wow, there is no question.
Yeah.
And that's how Paul gave birth to the churches where he was the apostle at, 1 Corinthians 2, 4 down through 7, that remember, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with signs and wonders, demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And that was the gift.
So that our wisdom wouldn't be in men, but in the power of God.
There you go. Yeah. So it's not just preaching.
Yeah.
And it's not just good preaching. No. It's not understandable preaching.
Yeah.
It's preaching that the Holy Ghost confirms and says, I agree.
Yeah, that's good.
I agree. Good. Yeah. So I think that we have to have all of it.
Yeah.
We can't just have a portion of it.
No. The whole thing.
The whole deal. The whole enchilada, they would say. Yes.
Yeah.
And it says, here's a question that we got. Does God use each person in every gift? Well, yes. Yes. Now, there are predominant gifts that people are going to operate in because God has set them in the body that way. A prophet, as it were, has a couple different gifts that operate that confirm his office. One is that a prophet should have and operate under a heavy anointing of a word of knowledge. Yeah. We see that in Agabus, the prophet that comes down. He foretells about something that is coming. That's a word of knowledge. But then we also know that they have a gift of prophecy. And that comes with an inspired message for an individual. And in that is a discerning of spirits. We see that in Acts, the 13th chapter, where Paul, as a prophet, and was walking, and they were ministering to the deputy, and there was a sorcerer there, which was the deputy's friend, and he was trying to deceive him, and Paul perceived, you are the devil. And he did it in Acts, the 16th chapter, with a woman of divination. So, and then a prophet should have a gift of teaching, because Paul carried that gift. So a prophet has three supernatural gifts plus the anointing to teach, to break down, to establish doctrine. And in that establishing doctrine, there comes reproof, there comes a rebuke. All those things are in the scriptures. So he brings that. So he tears something down. He destroys it with a hammer, but then he rebuilds it by the word of God.
That's good.
And so those gifts are predominant on a gift or upon a calling. And a prophet should have those gifts operative in his life. Now, could he operate in other gifts? Absolutely. Now, could a believer operate in all those gifts? Yes, but they would probably not be as predominant in his life as they would a prophet's life. See, a gift operates in order to meet the need or in order to establish who Christ is, to give verification of his resurrection. And so it takes all of those gifts. We're going to get into, because in all of those gifts, there are nine things revealed about God. The word of knowledge, God is the all-knowing God. The discerning of spirits. God knows the thought and intent of every man's heart.
That's good.
And so we're going to cover that. But sometimes we don't always look at them like that. But each one of them unveils, Rob, a different aspect of God.
The gift of faith.
The gift of faith. God is the God of faith.
The worlds were created.
There you go.
They came into existence.
Jesus walked on water. So, you know, all of these gifts unveil God in a supernatural way, and they confirm who God is. They are his voice. They are his stamp. This is God.
So
we'll be talking about that. But to answer both of them, yes, certain gifts are predominant in certain believers' lives, but also in the lives of those that have calls on them. And then we also know that, and the reason I know that certain gifts are predominant, remember that the Bible says that when one speaks in a tongue, pray there would be an interpreter. But if there is no interpreter, so you could pray there would be one, but an interpreter would be known. So that means that a gift would be more dominant in that believer's life.
That's good. That's
so, yes, every gift operates in it, because we run into all types of issues.
And we see, even in this text, we see Peter telling them, you know, you may speak in tongues or whatever, but desire, covet
the gifts earnestly, and the best
the
gifts.
Best gifts.
The best gifts.
So he knows that there's the potential for the gift of the Spirit operating in the believer.
Oh, absolutely.
All nine gifts.
Yes. Now look, when we come back Thursday, we're going to continue talking about this covet. We don't want to be ignorant. We want to be able to know how to do it, because without coveting, you are not going to lay hold of these gifts. These gifts really take, it's kind of like you can get as much fresh water out of a well that you want. It's just you got to dig deeper.
That's it.
You cannot be ignorant of certain things. You have to understand things. And that means that we have to labor, and we have to seek God, and we have to stay focused. We have to accomplish the purpose that we're using our faith. So next week, Thursday, we're coming together. We're going to finish about this coveting. And I know we talked about all over the place today, but though a lot of good stuff was in there, and I know you'll be blessed. So we'll greet you on the broadcast next week. Hey, God bless you. Bye-bye.